Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bring it up, Jake. Network. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and whoever the hell you are. The Power Hour on You Better You Bet and All right. Okay, I'm going to try and get this right. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up in 20 minutes, our friend, pro sports bettor Rob Bazzola will join us. Best bets for week 10 in the NFL. And 40 minutes from now. Like, the night in sports should be way better than this. Like, one NBA game, all the college games kind of stink. We do have an NFL game, and we will handicap it for you. Side total and props, Femi and I will. Femi's Island, first touchdown scorers, thy royal prop king. All our bets for the Broncos and Raiders will close the show 40 minutes from now. But joining us right now. Our friend, NBC Sports betting analyst, the great Jay Croucher, the saucy Aussie. Every single week, I think to myself, there's no way that the Sunday Night Football stand-up can be better than it was last week. And every week, I am pleasantly surprised. This one, the best one ever. I can't wait for this next one. On Twitter, at CroucherJD. My friend, welcome back. How are you?
Very well, Nick. You've got an absolute banger coming this Sunday night. Me and Matthew banged it out, so to speak, in one go.
Oh, okay.
So one take. Yeah, so I look forward to that. Hitting your screens on Sunday evening for Steelers Chargers on NBC.
What is the average number of takes it normally takes you? Because you talk like the – does Matthew Berry talk at all during that stand-up, or is it only you?
He's a supporting cast member. Very much so. Yeah, I would describe myself as the Ryan Gosling and Crazy Stupid Love of the ensemble cast for that one. But no, the over under for takes, it's probably a flat 2.0. Usually there's one. Usually you just do two, one for safety anyway, even if you nail it. But today, producer Steven was happy enough that just one take in and done. No safety net for this one. We'll just live and die with the consequences.
I love that's what we gotta love, live programming, baby. No safety net. Like, when you screw up like I did to start the hour, you just keep on trucking, baby.
We'll do it live.
Femi, yeah, shout out. Bill O'Reilly went to my high school. How about that? No one cares. So we'll move
Chris
on.
Chris Hemsworth went to my high school.
Is that
anyone
true?
Who's curious? Yeah, he did. He's from college.
Who do you think has a higher approval rating among women?
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
Can I Sorry, ask the goddamn question, please?
What was the question?
Yes, I don't want to ask it anymore. It's going to be a funny
Sizemore
question, too.
Grady Sizemore went to my high school.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, Grady Sizemore also a higher
Ladies love Grady.
Rating. Yeah, among women. Bill O'Reilly or Chris Hemsworth? Probably Chris Hemsworth. Femi, or as you called him in the break, Femitron. Mm. Why did you call him that?
I'm not sure. Kids have been playing with like a Transformers thing lately. So I've got Tron on the mind, I guess. So yeah, just seeping into the subconscious there. Sorry about that, Femi.
No, but, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, Yeah, it was a compliment, first. I think. Yeah, any what comparison about, a man can have to
May I ask this? Yes, I was going to say, what would you prefer, Femi? Because like Femi Prime isn't that great. Or maybe you like that. Optimus Femi, no. Femi Prime, or Femitron, if you had to pick.
I'm into Optimus Femi. Femitron or Optimus Femi? If I sleep on it, I'll go Femitron. Because the great Jay Croucher called me Femitron.
And what's funny about this is just like, what is old is new again. Like, Transformers was my favorite thing when I was like a young kid. And my dad took me to see the animated movie. And in the first scene of the animated movie, Megatron and Starscream literally murder like 5 members of the Autobots. And it actually like scarred me for life. You can look this up. Children scarred for life. Like it's a children's show. And it, all of a sudden it turns into a rated R movie, like executed at point blank range. My dad was like, he told me after the fact, God rest his soul, I thought about pulling you out of the movie. But we had to watch to see Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod after Megatron kills Optimus Prime. It's a children's movie. Anyway, wow. Femitron is chomping at the bit to ask you some awards questions. I'll let him get to that in a second. Sure. But Jay, first, do you have a favorite side or total bet for us week 10 in the NFL?
I don't, but I'll give you a prop, Nick. Coming off the bye, Quinshon Judkins, his rushing prop is set at 81.5 against the Jets. The line moved tremendously after the Jets got rid of all their players. The most important player they got rid of for this prop is Quinnen Williams, who is the most important player on that defensive line, or he was the most important. He's now a Dallas Cowboy. But I think that his absence on that line is going to make the Jets much more of a porous run defense. And the sneaky thing with Quinshon Judkins is that he gets immense workload. Whenever the Browns can stay remotely close in a game, the past two close games that the Browns have had, Judkins has had 23 and 25 carries. He was a workhorse in college. He had a shoulder thing that he came out of the game with against New England, but he's practicing. He's not on the injury report. So he should be good to go. And I think that the Browns, as favorites, I don't think that the Jets are going to get out to some inescapable lead against Cleveland's defense. So I think that the Browns should have game script. Wouldn't be surprised at all if Quinshon Judkins gets 20 carries or more. And if he does, I think that he will be efficient enough to go over 81.5 rushing yards.
Well, Quinshon Judkins, once upon a time, people thought he might win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Maybe they still do. I don't really think that. I've never really been one of those people. But hey, there's still half the season left to go. Speaking of which, we're getting all the midseason content right now, which has been interesting to digest, but still a lot of football left to be played. Offensive Rookie of the Year, though, has been kind of interesting because not a whole lot of Jackson Dart out there, despite what the betting market says. He's minus 135 over at BetMGM, but a lot of the content suggesting other people. Is there a bet to be made? I made the case of Tyler Warren at plus 700. Seems a little bit long, given what everyone's been saying about this award over the past 5 days or so.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that the most instructive thing to come out of all the midseason content is that Jackson Dart just doesn't resonate yet as an offensive rookie of the year. We've had voters
they lose
say
every
that.
Game. So
they do lose every game.
It's He's problematic. Been,
I think that the consensus take on Jackson Dart, which I think is the right one, is that he's been good, he's exceeded expectations, and he's been a spark for the New York Giants, but that doesn't necessarily result in him being the offensive rookie of the year frontrunner. I think he'd be 0% to win a vote held today. I think Emeka Egbuka would likely win and Tyler Warren would finish second. Jackson Dart, it reminds me, it's not quite the same. I don't think it's quite as egregious, but it reminds me of like when Russell Westbrook was favorite to win Sixth Man of the Year on the Lakers the year they went 33-49. And it's like, why is he favorite? Why does he get to be favorite in this market? It's just because he's got a big name and he plays in a big market, but no one actually thinks that he's going to win the award. So I think that Dart, like, I think Dart has a path to win. Dart could ignite. He could finish really hot. The Giants could start winning games. Certainly don't think he's zero to win the award, but I think that Emeka Egbuka is the most likely winner of the award, even if there are some red flags in his underlying stuff and particularly his inability to beat man coverage. And I think that Tyler Warren is the second most likely player to win the award, to your point, Femi. I think that Tyler Warren is the best bet in this market at the moment. Ultimately, I think you just want to take a position against Jackson Dart. And the best way to do that is by betting Tyler Warren right now.
All right, let's talk Coach of the Year. That's my favorite award market, I think, in any sport. I just love the NFL Coach of the Year. Shane Steichen finally showed some cracks losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers this past Sunday. Let's just, for giggles, let's say that they lose on Sunday in Germany against the Falcons. They'll then have the bye week, and coming out of the bye week, they play the Kansas City Chiefs. If that happens, they'll have gone one full month without winning a football game. Who do you think picks up the pieces if that happens to Steichen and the Colts? Is it all Vrabel, or is there someone further down the board that you think could potentially make a late charge in Coach of the Year?
Yeah, so I think that the winner is very likely one of the top four guys on the odds board, Steichen, Vrabel, McDonald, or Shanahan. Shanahan, to me, is compelling because the Niners get this primetime game against the Colts in Week 16, which could be the Koi Bowl, which is kind of a strange two words to join in tandem, but it could be a Koi Bowl.
If you spelled it K-O-I, it'd be like the fish bowl.
There's Koi Ponds and there's Koi Bowls.
Yes.
Just try not to eat out of it. And then I believe he plays Chicago the following week in primetime as well, Shanahan, if that game remains in primetime. So I think that Shanahan, with the injury narrative, he just lost his first round pick for the season as well. If the Niners storm back and win the division and he beats Steichen in primetime, then I think there is a path. I do think that he is the fourth most likely to win at this point, though he would be at price, my bet in this market at 16-1. I do think that Steichen is the most likely winner, just because he has still a path to the one seed. He's still a 75% chance to win his division or so. Vrabel, I think, is the most likely to pick up the pieces if Steichen does implode, just because, again, I make the Patriots around 50% to win the AFC East. Mike Vrabel taking down Josh Allen, beating Josh Allen twice to win the division would be an excellent Coach of the Year case. Mike McDonald certainly has a path. I don't think he has as high of a ceiling as Vrabel or Steichen, but Mike McDonald, I think he probably needs the one seed to actually win the award, but the Seahawks can get the one seed. They are one of the best teams in the NFC, and his price to get the one seed is right around his Coach of the Year price. But Shanahan, I think, is the clear fourth guy, and I think that his price should be a little bit closer to McDonald's at this point.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet, Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, hanging out with Jay Croucher, NBC's lead betting analyst, co-host of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry and Connor Rogers on Twitter at CroucherJD. We're going to get back to the NFL here shortly, but I wanted to ask you one NBA awards question. Most improved player, Josh Giddey. We all saw the performance the other night. He is now the favorite to win most improved player. Is it crazy, though, to suggest that Austin Reeves could actually be a contender in this award? Averaged 20 last year, but the way he's been playing, maybe he averages 25 this season.
Yeah, certainly. I think he's in the mix. I'd say that he's more probably tier two in the award. I think that Giddey and Denny Avdija are rightfully the top two favorites. How incredible would it be, Femi, if we have back-to-back Most Improved Player Award winners who were born in Melbourne, Victoria, and have suspect jump shots? Which would be quite incredible. Both of these guys, Giddey and Dyson, both grew up like 30 minutes from where I did as well. Perhaps I'll throw my hat in the Most Improved Player market next year. Yeah. Unfortunately, my inability to play basketball is a hindrance there, but I digress. I think that Giddey is the most likely winner because the Bulls have a realistic chance to be a top six seed, to be that might be a great team, but they can be a 43-39 type team. And Giddey, who was a little bit of a laughing stock, I think, in the league, he could go from being a 14.5 points per game last year, I believe he was, to 21-9-9 and being seen as a legitimate all-star level player leading the Bulls to their most feel-good season in years. I think that is the most likely case that would win. At the same time, I do think that he is very beatable. The Bulls are likely going to cool off. Coby White's going to come back. Avdija, I think, is kind of like Giddey light, where he can be, again, he's a guy who's on a team that had a win total in the low 30s that could emerge as a low 40s win team, and he would be the face of that. But Austin Reeves, yeah, certainly. I think that he has a lot of ceiling in terms of, you know, Austin Reeves is the one guy of this mix who could really become like a, you know, an all-NBA level caliber player. I think his path to winning probably involves LeBron only playing like half the season, but that's perfectly plausible as an outcome. If Austin Reeves is like 25, 26 points per game, the Lakers are a 2 or a 3 seed, and Austin Reeves is now viewed as the second best player on the Lakers, on a Lakers contending team, and his partnership with Luka Doncic, as LeBron kind of eases into the third guy at his age and coming off of his injuries, I think that is a viable path. I just don't think it's as clean of a path as the likes of Giddey and Avdija have.
Give me 20 seconds on this, just because, like, I don't know, I kind of like this guy, but I don't really know what I'm talking about. Is Jalen Duren too long of a price to win Most Improved Player?
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I'm not sure what his ceiling is for offensive stats, but the good thing with Duren is that he is just a physical specimen. He is an absolute marvel. He's like, he reminds me of like Dwight Howard or Amari Stoudemire, and he's young enough that it makes sense that he could make a massive leap. Again, he's going to be the second guy on his team at best behind Cade Cunningham. So I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he's in the top tier with the likes of Giddey and Avdija, but he's certainly another guy who you have to still have in consideration.
Give me, like, because we're running out of time, it has to be 15 seconds. Give me something that surprised you so far in the NBA.
Yeah, it's a strange one. The Orlando Magic, who I still think have a pretty high ceiling. And
they suck, right?
Well, I don't think they suck. I think they're still the third most likely team to win the East behind the Cavs and the Knicks. But just watching their game against the Hawks, it was kind of jarring that they don't have a single player who can go past the player in front of them. Like, they don't have anyone who can beat their man off the dribble. It's all bully ball with Paolo and Fran. So anyway, just a jarring kind of thing is watching that game. It's like, no one goes past their man, which feels like should be a problem in basketball.
I think I would take the Sixers upside over Orlando, but like I do think Orlando does have, if they're able to put it together. I mean, also, yeah, like, they don't play defense,
which is strange. They should, because they have good, like, talent to play defense.
It's kind of like, you know, it's like you'd never put a shrimp on the Barbie. It's like, these are things you're supposed to do. Listen, man, we can't wait for the stand-up on Sunday night. Because you're Australian. All right.
Yeah.
Right. Jay Croucher on the show. Craig, thank you very much. Rob Pizzola joins us next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.